Assessment. We're really big on assessment. So thyroid self-assessment, and I've given you a handout that's on the page that is the various things that you can do or use with your clients or give them to help them to do self-assessment at home. You can use the thyroid assessment form, which is on the page. That's a bunch of symptoms, and it gives you a score. I like to call them my scorecards. Basal body temperature. What is that temperature first thing in the morning? If it's low, it was shown by Broda Barnes, MD. He has a book about that, hypothyroidism, the unsuspecting illness, saying it was an epidemic long before people really realized it. And he very early on picked it up. The thyroid affects the body temperature. That even more sensitive than the blood tests is the temperature. If your body temperature is low, it's most likely, can't say 100%, but it's most likely due to a problem with your thyroid. When we look in a little bit of a chart that helps compare symptoms of thyroid and adrenal, you'll see that, you know, you have some other differentiating factors that you need to look at to determine, is it related to your adrenals or is it related to your thyroid? But measuring that first thing in the morning, what they call the basal body temperature, if it's below 97.7, that's an indication that there's some thyroid issues. I have had patients who had their numbers in the low 96s and sometimes dropping into the 95s. That's an indication that their thyroid's not working very well. The other thing you can do with temperature is take your average body temperature, like take three different times during the day and then average that over 3 days. That gives you your average body temperature throughout the day, not your basal, because your basal will be lower. The first thing in the morning, basal will be lower. That's before you move. You just stick the thermometer under your armpit or in your mouth. But the up and around temperature is measured, and Dr. Dennis Wilson coined it as the Wilson's temperature syndrome. When the person had normal thyroid function on the tests, but the temperature is low. So you basically take it three times throughout the day. You try not to do it right after eating, at least a half an hour to an hour after eating, so that you're not revved up from the eating, because your body temperature will go up a little bit. So you take it three times throughout the day, then measure it over 3 days. In both of these cases, for menstruating women, you want to be taking this in the early part of the cycle, like the first 7 days, because somewhere around 10 days, we start to have the luteinizing hormone and the follicle stimulating hormone are coming in and ovulation happens. And right after ovulation, the body temperature does go up, usually a half a degree to a degree. And we'll talk more about the Wilson's syndrome and when we get into protocols and what we're going to do. Right now, we're looking at assessment. Here's are some of the major assessments. I have the little shivery guy in the middle because that's a very common thing. Everybody else is warm and you've got the hat on and the boots on. It's the middle of summer in Texas. Low energy, sluggish digestion. All of these are related to sluggish function of various body parts. Dry skin, hair loss, and brittle nails. The hair follicles are not working adequately. Cold hands and feet, sensitivity to cold. Not just the cold hands and feet, but you just tend to be sensitive. Everybody else is warm and you're cold. Low body temperature, and that's measured. Constipation, that's a sluggish bowel, frequent infection, sluggish immune system, hoarse voice, lack of lubrication to the vocal cords, ringing in the ears, that can be damage and poisoning to the inner ears, but it's related to thyroid as well. Puffy eyes, joint aches, loss of libido, headaches, dizziness, insomnia, depression, mental dullness, or elevated cholesterol. If you have one or two of these, or your patient has one or two of these, it may not be a thyroid problem. It could be a lot of different things. But when you get a compendium, when you get a bunch of these, like I say in the scorecard assessment, a score of above 10% says, well, there may be some problems, but above 25%, for sure you should be looking at what's going on with the thyroid and trying to correct it. What are some of the symptoms of excess thyroid? Well, it's the opposite. It's that jittery guy that's sweating and yeah, and you feel like you've just had 4 or 5 cups of coffee. You're hot. Your appetites increase. You start to lose weight without trying. Some of us would love to have that problem. But all of these things, excess thyroid, the trembling, the palpitations, etc. And when we're doing thyroid protocols with people, that's the kind of stuff you're looking for to make sure you don't throw them over to the other end. Shortness of breath, hair loss, muscle weakness, increased bowel movements, irritability, all of the signs of hyperactivity. So it's not rocket science to figure out the symptoms. and you can have somebody fill out a form so that they get a number that then you can say, look, it seems to me like we've got some issues. If you do physicals in your office or you see people in the office, there's certain things you can look at that could suggest thyroid problems, or you can have people do that in their own home. The first thing in the morning, it's low, below 98. Throughout the day, it's below 98. Like 97.7 for a basal body temperature, as long as the throughout the day is in the 98s, ideally 98.6 would suggest that there's a problem. A sluggish Achilles reflex, people don't really often check this, but a sluggish Achilles reflex can be a sign of hypothyroid. A tenderness, this is a kinesiological spot, but between the second and third ribs near the sternum on the right, a tenderness there can be suggestive of a thyroid problem. Edema in the calves and what's called myxedema in the ankles. It's not a pitting edema where when you press it, it doesn't come back. It comes back out, but it's kind of a thickening in the ankles. Tenderness at the rib borders, thin and dry hair. You can see these when you see somebody. You can also tell when they walk in your office, are they wearing a sweater and you're wearing a tank top? And how are they dressed? And you can look at their hair. You can see that. You can see their skin. Is it dry? You can see their weight. So those are things to be looking for. You could take their blood pressure, and it's often low, as is the pulse on a hypothyroid, or it's high on a hyperthyroid. The big one is puffiness around the eyes, below the eyes, but also loss of the outer third of the eyebrow. If you see somebody who doesn't, their eyebrow doesn't go all the way across, it's a hallmark sign of thyroid issue. Their eyes can bug out. That's more likely to be a hyperthyroidism. And tremor and shakiness, again, more likely to be a hyperthyroidism. Hoarseness and the swelling. So we're looking for those sorts of things or asking them about that, asking them to observe and look at themselves. Other signs that you can be looking for is goose flesh on the backs of the arms. That could be related to thyroid. It can also be related to vitamin A. It can be related to your fat-soluble vitamins, vitamin E, and essential fatty acids, but it's very commonly associated with thyroid, as well as scalloped teeth. Again, very common. It's in Chinese medicine, it's talked about as a spleen qi deficiency. It's a digestive issue. It can be related to allergies, but also can be related to your thyroid. This is how you would examine the thyroid. You're poking around in there and you're feeling to see if one side or the other is bigger than the other, and swallowing. Now, if you don't have a license to do exams on people, you can actually have somebody do it on themselves. You can actually ask them to touch, and or you can have them swallow and you can watch, because when one side or the other of the thyroid is enlarged, you can see that when they swallow. And there's a video that I put on the video, it's on the page, and it shows someone doing a thyroid exam. So I'll give you an idea. Even if you don't do them, it's a good idea to just watch the videos and kind of learn and get a sense of it, because you could guide people themselves. In your handouts, there's a one called Thyroid Adrenal Comparison Chart, and it's on both the thyroid page and the adrenal page. And that one is the one that I'm showing you right now. This is the beginning. It's a long chart, and I got it from the drrind.com, and I gave you the link there. So you can find that there. And it's also a hyper and active link in the handout, so you can click on it or copy and paste it when you open up the PDF. There's signs and symptoms. Some of the signs can be both thyroid and adrenal, and some of them can be one or the other, but certain pieces have similar presentation in thyroid and adrenal, but there's a slight differentiation, and that's why I like this chart. He did a really nice job of this chart. So if you have somebody who gains weight easily and can't lose it, or is severely is thin and can't gain it, that's oftentimes related to the adrenal. And it's moderate. It's not severe. With thyroid, it's more like really severe and long-standing. I mean, people have said, I have been practically starving myself for 16 years, and I haven't budged an inch. I haven't budged a pound. Mixed, they gain weight easily. It goes to the tummies and the hips first. It's hard to lose. So it's hard to differentiate these, but you ask questions about it. How difficult is it to lose weight? So the facial shape, oftentimes it's puffy around the eyes with thyroid, and the cheeks are sunken in with the adrenal. And with the mixed, it can be normal. With the eyebrows, here's another way to look. Somebody's complaining about hair loss and they're being cold all the time and they're fatigued, but they have that very full outer, the eyebrows are really full. They may or may not, they probably don't have a thyroid. They may be more likely to have adrenal. Now, I do want to make sure you know, none of these signs is 100%. We're pulling it all together and getting a sense of it. And I will say most people end up with both. Their adrenals, they get stressed, they have hypercortisolism, it then causes adrenal fatigue, which creates the problem with the thyroid. Or sometimes with a primary hypothyroid, it can affect the adrenals as well, especially if it is an autoimmune condition. So puffy around the eyes for thyroid, sunken for adrenal. Thyroid people can have a rosy complexion, especially around the mouth, whereas adrenal people would tend to be a little bit paler. And the hair, there's changes in the hair in both. Thyroid, it tends to be coarse hair, and it could become wavy or curly, but that's weird, rare to change color. But if severe enough, the hair loss is happening. You know, the person's saying, you know, I take a shower, and I'm just pulling out these wads of hair. What the heck is going on? Okay. And the adrenal people do tend to also have sparse hair on their arms and their legs, the forearms and the backs of their legs, although that can happen with thyroid as well. So again, this is not going to be an easy differentiation. So this goes on and on. So I don't know that we want to go through every single one of these. I think this is one of the background information pages that you can use. And as you're going through and either examining a person or asking them, you can make circles, you can do highlighting in the various columns and get a sense for where most of the problems lie. In reality, it's important to address both. It's important to address both. And sometimes when people are low on funds or don't like to have too many interventions, it's important to find one, which one might be the more important one. So there's several pages of this. And again, this is in your guide, on your page, and it's a nice in a PDF form, and it's laid out really nice and easy for you to read. So here's some of the other things at the bottom is some of the indications based on some of the problems that they may have and diagnosis that they may have or blood results. So history of EBV is very common with adrenal problems, not as common with thyroid. Sensitivity to medications, not so common with the thyroid, but very common with the adrenals. Let's see, there's these personality things he even mapped out. The tendency towards depression is much more severe with the thyroid, and anxiety is usually more prominent with adrenals. Obsessive compulsion happens with both, but more so with the adrenals. An easy startle, that's your hypervigilant, that's more of an adrenal thing. And tolerance to stress is usually pretty poor with adrenal, maybe poor with a thyroid, but it may be a little bit better. More things down here related to the energy, the pattern of edema, sleep, heart palpitations, digestion, bowel function. And we could be here for 2 or 3 hours just going through that. That's why I've given it to you as a resource so that when you're working with people, you can use that as a guide. Let's take a quick look at the thyroid lab analysis. These are the things that are important to measure with the thyroid issue. In addition, there are some non-thyroid things that are important to measure, like the cholesterol levels, like the LDLs and the HDLs and the hemoglobin A1C and homocysteine. Those are all really important as well. The TSH we talked about, the T3, the T4, a lot of doctors, when they run the labs, they'll do the TSH only if it comes back normal. And if it comes back high, then they'll also do the free T4. And that's it. That's all they're looking at. And the way I look at it is we want to look at all the different pieces. Your thyroid produces primarily total T4 and a little bit of total T3. But what your end tissue sees is the free T3. That's what activates your tissues. That's the most metabolically active form. If I were to have to just choose two of these, I would want to know what's the thyroid making, the total T4, and what's affecting the tissues at the end, the free T3. Nice to have the ones in between, and when we look at the details of the patterns, you'll be able to see. Then you've got your thyroid antibodies. Most docs overlook this. Somebody asked me, is when do you run the thyroid antibodies? Do you run that as an initial screening, or do you run that later if something shows up wrong, out of balance? I run it right from the start. If anybody has any indication that they have a thyroid issue, I run it right from the start. They have difficulty keeping their weight. If they have hair loss, if they have dry skin, anything at all, I run those right from the start. And you know what? In several cases, I wouldn't say a high percentage of the case, I would say close to 30% of the people that I run the antibodies on will show the antibodies abnormal before the TSH goes abnormal. So in my opinion, in my humble opinion, I don't want to wait until the person has had enough damage from those antibodies to have the rest of the thyroid numbers be off. I would rather, if that's an early warning sign, say, look, we're going to treat these antibodies. We're going to calm down these antibodies now, early on, before it damages the situation. Reverse T3, very rarely looked at. It's sometimes looked at with the Wilson's protocols, and it's looked at when people are having problems that are not resolving. But it is a good thing to look at, especially if the person has low free T3 and normal T4, to see, is the thyroid, is the hormone being diverted to reverse T3, which is metabolically inactive? And what are the situations that cause that? And things like stress, inflammation somewhere else in the body, imbalances of other hormones can all relate to that. And we'll show you how to look at the labs and do the ratio of free T3 to reverse T3. In general, it should be 20 or better. It should be no less than 20. So when you look at the free T3 ratio to reverse T3, it should be a 20-to-1 ratio. T3 uptake and free thyroxine index, I don't really see them as very valuable. They're calculated, and they're often included on a thyroid panel. They don't really cost them any extra to include them, so they include them. Supposedly, the T3 uptake is giving you an indication of how well your cells are taking up the T3, but I found a lot of discrepancies between free T3 and the T3 uptake and the free thyroxine index, and I'd rather just measure it. I really think it's better to just measure it. And then vitamin D is critical, critical, critical. I gave you a really detailed 3 or 4 page list of the various nutrients and herbs and all that help with thyroid, and you'll be able to look at that and see and study some of the mechanisms if you'd like.